So before I get into it, I just want to piggyback on what Joe talked to you this morning about St. Ambrose. I know you do too, but I just love, I adore St. Ambrose and everything that they stand for. Listen, a lot of families from this parish were about putting that together in our leadership positions there and our teaching, and we have a lot of families sending their kids there. It's an amazing place that, and here's what I like so many things about it, but I think the thing that I like the most about it is that it's kind of rare, unfortunately, today, but they really emphasize a strong Catholic identity, is the way I put it. In other words, they just love the Catholic Church and the rich treasure chest that has been handed down to us, and they explore all that and celebrate all that and worship in that way. It's a wonderful, wonderful place for spiritual formation for young people and to help them to fall in love with their Catholic faith or fall more deeply in love with it. So please, if you can, in any way, if you're looking for something worthwhile to contribute to, please, please, please consider St. Ambrose. I know many of you already do. We're so blessed to have so many generous people here, and please consider that as something very worthwhile to contribute to. All right, so today we saw the Gospel of the Transfiguration. I looked it up, and if I have it right, Transfiguration actually is defined as a complete change into something more beautiful and spiritual. A complete change into something more beautiful and spiritual. And so we see this. This is Luke's account of the Transfiguration. When I was reading through the scholars to get ready for the sermon today, it's interesting to note that Luke is a little easier on Peter and the boys. So you remember the account in the Gospels where Jesus says, you know, I'm going to face persecution and I'm going to be put to death. And the boys are like, wait, what? And then Peter, you know, kind of leader of the pack, representing all the boys, says, pulls them aside and says, heaven forbid, that's not going to happen to you. So we'll do anything to make sure that doesn't happen. And here we can see that he's willing to resort to the tactics of the world. What does the world do? You know, the world lives in moral relativism. In other words, you can lie, you can cheat, you can steal your way in and out of anything you want. We can't. And what Jesus was, and so Jesus would turn to Peter and say, get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking as God does. You're thinking as the world does. So the scripture scholars say in most of the Gospels that their faith was weakened in that point. What do you mean? You're going to be persecuted and put to death, you know. And so what did he do? He brought Peter, his innermost circle, Peter, James, and John, sons of thunder, right? And let them behold his glory. The divinity that he was. What was he giving them? He was giving them the gift, the Holy Spirit gift, to fear the Lord. Or I like to say awe and wonder. I mean, you can imagine being there on Mount Hermon. And behold, there he is in his glory, as we saw it laid out here. They were caught. It says Peter hardly knew what to say. Let's make this place a special place from now on now, because this is amazing what's going on here. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to say. But you see, it gets to what we've been talking about all along, is that's the first of all the gifts that opens the door to everything, that sets us anew on the path toward the kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of the world. Because you see, when we get that gift of fear of the Lord or awe and wonder, everything changes. Our perspective, our priorities. It becomes literally I want to do anything I can to please you. You're amazing. You're awesome. Okay? Whereas before, you know, oh, I'm not really sure if this is going to work out. You know, he's talking about persecution and death. And maybe, you know, maybe he's not. Maybe he is. You know, they're waffling. They're kind of going along. No. He took the leader of the boys and he said, listen, I want to set in your hearts something that is going to open up for you and everyone else a power in your life, a love that you've never imagined, a joy that you can't even describe, a peace that you've never known before. I'm going to give you a resolve then to go out, to be that light, that salt, out into the world to spread the good news. I'm going to give that to you. But you can't even consider it. You can't be open to that power unless first you're awestruck by the divinity of God. Otherwise, you're playing church, you're doing religion. You see, that's what we're doing right now. In this Lent, we've been talking. This is a critical time in history. We've been abused for 2 years. We see something happening in the world over in Ukraine that we never thought would happen since World War II. Right under our nose. Why? Why did all this happen? Why is all this happening? Because we are weak. We don't have that gift of awe and wonder. We're not putting God first in our lives. He's somewhere in rank order there, but he's not first. If we get around to him, if he fits into our schedule, we can feel that too, because what we're doing is we're building a discipline. Yikes, that's a scary word. Of the best practices of our faith with this 90 days to peace that we're doing together. And I had to lay it out. I had to say, because early on I said, well, here's my typical day. I do the morning prayer, and then I put in parentheses behind it, 30 seconds. Then I did the Angelus at 6 a.m., 90 seconds. I mean, come on. This is so hard. But I'll tell you what is hard. You know, maybe the 30 seconds and the 90 second isn't so hard that you're adding to your rosary, because I think you all were rosary prayers already. But here's the one that's hard. Stop it for 15 minutes in silence to get off your treadmill of life and to put God right here for 15 minutes. I venture to say that's really hard for us. But you see, it's a sign of our weakness. We let ourselves become religious practicers, not God lovers. Do you see, if we ever got there as a church, as a culture, evil would have no way in because we'd be so strong. But now, and I'm not getting into politics, but we can see the analogy of the physical weakness that's going on in the world. Look what evil's doing. When those who are in power are presenting themselves as so weak, now's our time. Let's do it. Hurry up and do it now, because this time might not pass. So evil is just rushing in, sees it as their time. That's what the devil does. When we get weak, he gets aggressive. That's why right now, more than any other time, it's so important for us to get strong. But really strong. Strong in our connection to God. Close in to God.
These are historic times. You know, one last thing I want to point out. I'm Father Connect the Dots. I've been noticing that events are happening not on solemnities, feasts, but the day before, on the vigil of those feasts. I don't know why. And one example is this. The Feast of the Transfiguration is normally August 6th. Remember when I pointed out August 5th, 2019? We were horrified, somewhere I hope, to learn that we're down to 30% that believe this is God on the altar. How effective has evil been to separate us from the sense of the divine, the sense of the supernatural? And then what are we going to do about that? Well, let's put a pagan idol in the epicenter of the church, which came 2 months later. And I'm in the school of thought that the virus leaked out of the lab the very same day, October 6th. You know what that is? The vigil of Our Lady of the Rosary. Interesting. Because why? What is an idol? It's anything we prioritize ahead of God. We have our idols. Like our idols is our routine, our comfort zone, our treadmill of life, where it becomes so hard to stop for 15 minutes. So where are we now? What have we learned since that time? We learned that we have been disconnected. Do you remember me talking about Martha? She's in the same house. She just was out in the kitchen. I'm practicing my faith. I'm going through the motion of punching the clock. But am I at his feet, staring into his eyes, hanging on his every word? I think that's what we've learned. That's what we've learned. We've been disconnected. Wait, what do you mean I'm disconnected? At least I go to church, Martha. What other people don't, Martha? How many of us are stopping every day? Just 15 minutes to get intimate with our Lord, to behold his divinity, his glory, to let that sink in a way, yes, that challenges us. See, a lot of people don't want to go there. Keep them at a manageable distance. Gosh, if I bring him in, he might ask me to do stuff. He might ask me to change stuff. He might ask me to strive for perfection, catch excellence. This is easier, this is safer to be a Martha. That's my diagnosis. You can take it or leave it. And so what's the prescription? We've got to get strong. We've just simply got to get strong. Strong in our intimacy. Strong in our awe and wonder. Strong in our resolve to get the light and bring the light to the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I believe in one God.